I want you to open your Bibles this morning, please, to the Old Testament book of Leviticus, chapter 14. Leviticus, chapter 14, please. I would like to read all of chapter 13 and all of chapter 14. However, that would take up all my time, because chapter 13 has 59 verses in it. Chapter 14 has 57 verses in it. But I'd like to read all of these chapters, just to be honest with you, so that you would have a real good understanding of what's in these two chapters. These two chapters are what the rabbis and what the Jews refer to as the law of leprosy, the law of the leper. And I want to speak to you this morning a message I'm going to entitle The Cure for Spiritual Leprosy. The Cure for Spiritual Leprosy. In chapter 14, verse 1, the Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, This shall be the law of the leper in the day of his..." Now, what's the next word? Cleansing. All right, I want you to note that word. I want you to underline it, or put an asterisk beside of it, or put a circle around it or something, so that it stands out when you look at this verse. The Bible here says, "This shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing." Now, that is real important. That is real important, and you'll see it unfold as the message goes on. But I'll stop reading there. You keep your Bible open, and I want to preach to you this morning a message entitled "The Cure for Spiritual Leprosy." Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you now for this time together with the Word of God. And I pray that you will bless and open the understanding of our hearts. Help us, Father, to see the picture and to understand the application. Lord, may we clearly realize and see what you intend for us to see through using this horrible disease to explain what you have done for us in sending your Son. Father, I pray that our minds and hearts will be attentive, that we will, see the picture and understand it and then apply it and use it for your honor and your glory. So, Father, help me as I speak this morning. I pray that you'll guide and direct my thoughts now in Jesus' name. Amen. Leprosy has for thousands of years been a great mystery to the world. It was not until just in the last century that the medical community got a handle on this terrible, terrible disease. Back in Old Testament days, leprosy was a complete and total mystery. Whenever God gave the law to Moses, there was leprosy common, but it was a complete and total mystery. And God used this disease to illustrate a very important point that he needed man to understand. God used this horrible, terrible disease to illustrate the sinfulness of man and to show himself as the only solution to man's sin. The Hebrew word for leprosy is derived from the root that means to strike down. In the Bible times, leprosy was looked upon as a stroke from God. To describe the seriousness of this plague, men would say, and the Bible often says, that a person was smitten with leprosy. However, there is nothing in the Bible which gives any veracity to how men thought about this disease. Nowhere does the Bible even hint that leprosy was a disease and inflicted upon man because he sinned against God. Nowhere is that implied in Scripture. But it was inferred and it was understood that leprosy was something that was given to man as a blight, as being smitten by God because of sin. Now, in chapter 13 and in chapter 14, we find what has been referred to as the law of the leper. In the 13th chapter, leprosy is dealt with on the grounds of health, simply as a disease. And yet it is quite evident and obvious that its mysterious character, its unknown origin, and its continuous deterioration of the body that was caused by the disease, its incurable grip, make it a very fit type, a very powerful type of sin and symbol of sin. The German theologian, I pronounce his name Lange, L-A-N-G-E. He's not one of these liberal German theologians, but was a conservative German theologian, lived back several years ago. When I was in college, I was told that his name was Lange, but that doesn't sound right to me, so I just called him Lange. But anyway, the guy was a very, very astute writer, and here's what he had to say about Old Testament leprosy. He said, a speaking picture of sin. Leprosy is a speaking picture of sin and of the evil and punishment of sin. The plastic manifestation, the medical phantom, or representative of all the misery of sin. And that's how the Jews viewed leprosy. If you had leprosy in the Old Testament, others would look at you as though you were some kind of a sinner who had been smitten by God because of your sin. So the Jews looked at leprosy as a picture or as a type of the judgment of God upon sin. Some of the Jewish expositors thought leprosy was a subject full of suggestiveness. One of them said, "If a man considers this, he will be humbled and ashamed on account of his sin, since every sin is leprosy and a spot on his soul." So I want to take this law of the leper, and I want to show you a couple of things from the Scriptures this morning, and I trust that what I show you this morning will reveal to you the need that every one of us has to receive Christ as our personal Savior. There are three things I want you to see this morning. First of all, I want to give you an overview of these two chapters. I want to just give you an overview of these two chapters. I wish that we had time to read them all. I wish that I would have had a thought of it yesterday and had called all of you and told you to read Leviticus 13 and 14. I mean, that's how important I think it is that you know what these chapters say. It would make the sermon so much easier. However, I will do my best to explain it to you so that you see what's in these two chapters. Chapter 13 and 14 deal with the law of the leper. And while considering the law of the leper, the only application possible for us is to look at this disease symbolically. We need to look at it symbolically. God uses this horrible disease in order to paint or portray or show a picture of sin and what sin does in our lives. You cannot read these chapters, especially the 14th chapter, without realizing that while in these laws there was a provision for the physical well-being of the community, there was also a remarkable recognition of the spiritual application. Let me show you what I mean. There is a difference between the 13th chapter and the 14th chapter. I think it is important for us to recognize and consider the difference between these two parts of the law of the leper as it is found in Scripture. Chapter 13 is what I'm going to call diagnostic. Chapter 13 is nothing more than instruction given by God to the priest who was to discover and to discern whether what appeared to be leprosy on an individual was actually leprosy. The symbolic value of the chapter, then, is that sin demands the sinner to be separated from the rest of society. The idea, you read the 59 verses in chapter 13, and basically summed up, here's what it says. Someone suspects they have leprosy. They send for the priest, and the priest comes and examines this man's spot. And if he sees that he is a leper, he then declares him to be unclean. and he sends him out from the rest of the people to an isolated place, usually to what was referred to in the Old Testament as a leper colony, where only people who had leprosy lived. And they were isolated and separated from the rest of society. That person was then left alone and left to his own accord for the disease to ultimately do to him what leprosy did, and that is eat away at his body until it consumed him and he died. So the symbolic value of the chapter is that sin demands the sinner to be separated from everyone because of his disease. And it is also inferred in the 13th chapter that the reason he was isolated was because everyone knew that his disease was incurable. There was no potion that you could give the leper. There was no incantation that could be said over the leper. There was absolutely no cure unless God intervened. There was no cure whatsoever for anybody who was a leper, and he was simply sent out to suffer the effects of the disease until he died. But then you turn to chapter 14. And if you'll look, please, at the text that I read a moment ago in verse 2, the Bible here says, and this chapter begins somewhat different. It begins this way. This shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. You read these two chapters and it becomes clear and apparent to you that the leper could be cleansed. There was a cleansing. Now, you read chapter 13 and it contains no hope whatsoever for the leper. You read chapter 13 and it is inferred over and over that the leper, once he got this disease, was as good as a dead man. He was isolated. He was separated. He was felt sorry for because there was no cure. He was sent out from the rest of society lest he inflict other people and spread his horrible disease. But then you turn to the 14th chapter and all of a sudden the light comes on. All of a sudden there is hope. All of a sudden there is something to get excited about, because in verse 2, the Bible says, this shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. Oh, there's something here, folks. There's something here. In the 13th chapter, it opens in the full flood of the light of hope. In the 13th chapter, the priest is to distinguish and differentiate and separate and isolate and literally make impossible the return of the man to the camp. But then in the 14th chapter, we see the admonition that, wait a minute, there is hope. There is the possibility of what is not in the power of man to provide, but that God could step in and God could intervene and God could heal the man, thus allowing him to come back amongst society. You see, the 14th chapter contains instruction for the ceremonial procedure by which the cleansed leper is restored to fellowship with God and with the camp. But notice the glaring point that seems to stick out. Leprosy is entirely incurable by human action, but it may be cured by divine action. Folks, do you not see the picture that this disease presents us in this matter of man and his sin and his standing before God? You see, there is absolutely nothing that man can do to cure our spiritual leprosy. There's nothing that man can do to get rid of this awful curse that is upon us called sin. There's absolutely nothing that I can do to help you. There's nothing you can do to help yourself. But God steps into the picture, and now all of a sudden everything changes. God has provided a way for us to be cured of our spiritual leprosy. There is a cure for sin, but it is by divine action. And as soon as these chapters are viewed as symbolic and their suggestion concerning the sin nature is understood, that sin is incurable by any human process, but it is curable by the divine economy of God. I was talking to somebody recently, and the fellow said, well, can you save me? And I said, no, I can't save you. I don't have the power to save your soul. He said, well, you're a preacher, aren't you? And I said, yes, indeed I am. But I can't save your soul. You see, the sin nature is it's just like this Old Testament leprosy. There was no human cure. Can you imagine your child? You wake up one morning and see a spot on the back of your child's hand. You run that child to every adult you can find. What's wrong with? What does this look like to you? And then finally, out of fear and desperation, you call for the priest. And the priest comes, and the priest looks at your head, at your child's hand, and the priest says, oh boy, that's leprosy. We've got to isolate this child. We've got to take this child and put him in the leper colony. Why, your heart would be broken, would it not? Would you not do everything in your earthly power to get a healing for your child? Would you not call every holy man you could find, every priest you could find, every shaman you could find, every witch doctor you could call? Would you not do everything and try every potion known to man? I mean, you would go to the bookstore and you'd get those herbology books and read about all these things you could mix and put on it. My grandfather was notorious for that stuff. I mean, if you got something wrong with you, man, he had some kind of mixture. Usually had alcohol connected to it, but he had some kind of mixture that he would concoction. He would come up with. Why, in the cellar behind his house was every kind of root that grew in the state of West Virginia, and he knew exactly how much of the root to put in the mixture. I mean, some of that stuff you'd have to leave the house while it was smoldering on the stove. And some of it, he would grab you by the nose and pour it down you. But you know, a lot of the stuff, it worked. You would do everything you could to help your child if you knew your child had leprosy. Well, dear friend, that's the point. There was no cure. There was absolutely nothing that anybody could do. The only cure for leprosy was divine cleansing when God, in His mercy, reached down and touched the leper and gave him some kind of a cleansing. That's the only hope. And dear friend, by application, the only hope that any of us have, all of us spiritual lepers, the only hope that any of us have is that we receive divine cleansing from God Himself, who has provided the way of salvation. Nod your head. Does that make sense to you? Everybody see that? The gap between the two chapters is great, folks. I mean, listen carefully between chapter 13 and chapter 14. Listen carefully. There is a shadow of the old economy in 13, but there is a shadow of the New Testament in chapter 14, because in between chapter 13 and 14 stands our great Savior, our great High Priest, who was there to make a cleansing for our spiritual problem. In the 13th chapter, we have the unveiling of sin under the picture and figure of leprosy. But in the 14th chapter, we see the unveiling of the way of salvation in the picture of the leper being declared clean and restored to fellowship with everyone, including God. Now, the second thing I want you to see this morning, I want us to see this picture of sin that leprosy presents. I want to show you that leprosy is a very clear picture of sin. As I said in my introduction, leprosy was a great scientific mystery until just the last century. No one knew back in Bible times where leprosy came from. Was it a viral infection? Was it a bacterial infection? Was it genetic? Just how did leprosy picture sin? Well, there are several ways, and I'm just going to give you two, and I'll elaborate on them. Then I'll mention a couple of others and won't elaborate for the sake of time. But leprosy is such a clear picture of sin as you study the disease. First of all, it pictures sin by the mystery of its origin. By the mystery of its origin. You see, in Bible times, the person would look at the back of his hand and notice a little white spot. And he would say, I wonder what that is. And he would stand and look at it, take his finger, and rub his finger across it and say, when did that come up? Wonder what that is. And in the back of his mind was a fear. Oh my goodness, this might be leprosy. And he would go to his friends and he would say, you know, I got this little spot on the back of my hand. Look at this. And someone would say, boy, I tell you, you probably ought to go to a doctor and get that looked at. You think? Oh yeah, that doesn't look good. And they would go then to other friends. And finally, they would notice after a couple of days that the thing seems to be growing and expanding. And so they would call the priest. They would call the priest to come and look. And the priest would come in and say, sir, look at my hand. I believe I've got a problem here. And the priest would look at it and say, oh dear, I believe you do have a problem, for that's leprosy. And the man would begin to question and think of it in his mind, where did this come from? How did I get this disease? No one knew a thing about it. No one knew how leprosy chose its victims. Can I say something to you this morning, dear friend, as you see the picture, that there is absolutely nothing as appalling, as mysterious, or as perplexing as the innate sin nature that is found in every person who breathes God's air. I mean, the greatest minds in the world have tried to figure out where man's sin comes from. How can something as sweet as a newborn baby child be a sinful creature? And we have tried to find the answers. Philosophers have spent hours writing and thinking and trying to come up with some kind of solution that eliminates God from the picture. But folks, no matter how hard they try, all of their theories and all of their writings are just sounding brass and tingling cymbal. If you want to know why man is a sinner, you go to the Bible will tell you. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death is passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We're sinners by nature. And that's a mystery. You say, well, where did it come from? It came from your parents. Well, where did my parents get it? It came from their parents. Well, where did they get it? It came from their parents. And you trace that thing all the way back to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. That's where sin came from. Brethren, I want you to understand that we're sinners. And no matter how you slice it, we're sinners. You say, well, others may be sinners, but my little baby is not a sinner. Oh, are you in for a rude awakening? We're all sinners. I remember years ago, my wife was working, and Joshua was about 4 or 5 months old, and it was a Saturday, and I had him in this little chair sitting on the table, and he was asleep. And I was preparing my Sunday message for the next day. And he was asleep in this little chair, just sawing logs. And I'm studying and working away. And then all of a sudden he woke up. And when he woke up, he started looking around and he spotted me. And he was staring at me and I was tickling him and playing with him. And then I went back to my sermon. And when I went back to my sermon and ceased the eye contact and ceased the tickling and ceased the talking, all of a sudden he let out this blood-curdling squall. I mean, scared me to death. I thought, good night, my child's having a heart attack. There's something wrong here. And I pushed the chair away. I stood up. I reached in, unhooked him, and picked him up out. It scared me to death. This was pre-911 days. I probably would have called 911. It scared me so bad, this blood-curdling scream that he was letting out. And I picked him up, and as soon as I picked him up, 4 months old. As soon as I picked him up, those little old tears stopped, that little old crying stopped, and a smile came across his face. I put him back down in the chair. He went nuts on me again. I picked him up. He quit. I put him down. He started to squall. I picked him up. He quit. And it hit me like a ton of bricks. You little sinner, you. You're a little liar. That's what you are. There's nothing wrong with you. You are deceiving your father here. He was born that way. We're all born that way. You say, well, man, I just don't understand it. Well, there's some things that we're never going to fully understand till we get to heaven, but the Bible tells us enough to let us know that that sin nature was passed down from our parents, and it goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. The Bible says that we are sinners. And folks, we're not sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. It's what we are. Sin is a poison.
Sin is something within the soul that atrophies its power and prevents the realization of all the deep and profound meanings of life. Neither the theologian nor the philosopher has ever been able to figure out how sin transfers from parent to child. But all will agree that something introduced a poison upon the souls of all men. And brethren, listen, that poison is nothing more than sin that was committed in the Garden of Eden. Sin is a mystery in its origin. Leprosy was a mystery in its origin. Nobody knew where it came from. It just showed up. And that's the way it is with sin. Secondly, second picture, the second way to see leprosy as a picture of sin. Leprosy is a symbol of sin in the method of its manifestation. In the method of its manifestation. It's amazing that the first appearance of leprosy is discoverable only by a trained eye. Only by a trained eye. Only someone who has had experience in dealing with it. Dr. George Turner, who did the pioneer work in the field of leprosy, did not realize the disease he was studying had invaded him. The man that did the pioneer work on leprosy was destroyed by leprosy. He was standing in front of the mirror one morning, shaving his face. And as he was shaving, he saw his hand in the mirror and saw a spot on his hand. And it made him realize that he was a leper. Is it not the same way with sin? You see, folks, as difficult as it is for us to realize, a little baby is nothing more than a sinner waiting to manifest what he is. You may see little hints of it along the way, but one day you will ultimately see that sin nature he or she got from you, and it will eventually one day come out in full glory. That little darling will one day manifest a full-blown sin nature, and that's exactly what leprosy did. It feeds itself on human tissue until it ate and destroyed a person. And how many people have been ruined and destroyed by sin and what it does to its host? People have asked me how some folks can do the things that they do. And the answer is simple. Folks, sin is like leprosy in that it just keeps growing and destroying as it goes. Leprosy starts as one little spot and then it spreads. It eats away the fingers. Then it eats away the hand. Then it eats away the forearm. Then it eats away the upper arm until it gets into the trunk, into the body cavity. And when it does, you're gone. You're gone. It's a slow, horrifying, painful, agonizing death. And that's exactly what sin does to each and every person in this world. It just keeps eating away until eventually it brings death. Oh, dear friend, if you're here today without Christ, you need the Lord as your Savior. I mean, it's just that simple. I could go on and on and on and show you other parallels. I could stress, and probably should stress, that there was no human cure for leprosy. I think I've adequately stated that, but there was no cure for leprosy. By the way, there is no human cure for sin either. Not at all. I tell you, it's amazing to me the number of people that are trying to get their sin taken care of themselves. I've had people tell me that, sir, if you die today, you know for sure you'd go to heaven. Well, I've been baptized. Oh, that's not your cure. That's not the cure for spiritual leprosy. You went down into a tank full of water and you let somebody put... Listen, you went down into that water, a dry sinner, and you came out a wet sinner. But you didn't get cured of spiritual leprosy. You say, well, I've joined the church. Well, listen, that's not a cure for spiritual leprosy. There was no human cure for leprosy. They were taken and isolated and set out and put out. You say, well, Pastor, what's the cure? The only cure was for God to intervene. And the only cure for spiritual leprosy is for God to intervene in your soul and save your soul. I tell you, it's amazing. It's amazing that people are trying to do everything they can to get to heaven except come to heaven God's way. And God's way is through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you think, folks, that if God could get us to heaven any other way,
that he would have spared his son to die on the cross for our sin? I mean, don't you think if God could save a soul through the church, that he would have said, son, don't go down there and go through all that humiliation and let them beat you and scourge you and pluck your beard out and put a crown of thorns on your head. Don't go down there and let them nail you to a cross. You just stay right here beside me. We'll let the church save people. Hogwash. Church can't save anybody. This is nothing more than a bunch of bricks and mortar and plasterboard and carpet and pews. That's all this is. There is absolutely zero saving power in this building or any other building around this planet. Jesus is the one that will save your soul. The gap between chapters 13 and 14 is great. In chapter 13, you have the shadow of the old economy. But in chapter 14, you have the shadow of the new economy. And standing in the gap between the two chapters is our great Savior, our great High Priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that leads me to my third point. I want you to see leprosy I want you to see that there is a way of cleansing for the leper. There is a way of cleansing. Now, look please, if you will, at the 14th chapter. Is there any way for the cleansing of the leper? Well, according to verse 2, this shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. Now, if there is a day of cleansing, then evidently, there was a way to get clean. You say, well, Pastor, chapter 13 said that there was no human cure. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And let me show you something. Look at verse 3. Look at verse 3. It says, and the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed two birds alive and clean, and cedar wood, and scarlet, and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in the earthen vessel overrunning with water, and so on and so forth. Let me show you something here. Let me show you something neat here. There were lepers cleansed. That's true. But they were not cleansed by man. In the camp, look at verse 3. In the camp, the priest got word. Hey, one of the lepers got cleansed. Really? Yeah. Wow. I got to go see this. Why? If he's clean, we can bring him back into our camp. So the priest would go out and he would stand on the outskirts and say, hey, where's the man that was cleansed? And the man that was cleansed comes walking out. And the priest says, let me see your hands, sir. And he holds his hands out. And the priest examines him. And sure enough, the man's been cleansed of his leprosy. Wow. What do we do now? We bring him back. That's what we do. You bring him back and you do his little ceremony and you declare and you proclaim that the man has been cleansed. Folks, you say, well, who cleansed him? The priest? No, the priest was still in the city when the word came that the man had been healed. The priest had nothing to do with it. By the way, folks, I can't cure your leprosy either. I can't cure my own. I dead sure can't cleanse yours. You say, well, preacher, how did the man get cleansed? God cleansed him. That's how he got cleansed. God in his mercy and grace. And then come over to the New Testament for a moment. There were many lepers in the New Testament. And the Lord Jesus ran into a lot of them. And there are multitudes of instances where lepers confronted the Lord Jesus or where he confronted them. And while I was preparing the message, I went over to the Gospels and I looked up all the different times where the lepers had contact with Jesus. And I noticed something very interesting when I read those verses. We never read, now you go check it, you never read in the Gospels where Jesus healed a leper. Every time Jesus had a confrontation with a leper, the Bible says that he cleansed that leper. Do you see the point? He cleansed that leper. And we never read that he healed them, but that he cleansed them. The one word, cleansed, is used in every instance when leprosy is mentioned. It is a cleansing. In Matthew 8, verses 1 to 4, this leper came to Jesus and he said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. And Jesus touched him
and the man was clean that very minute. And folks, that is what is needed for every spiritual leper. You see, only God can cleanse the leper soul. Only God can take the sinner and make him whole. Only God can reach down in love and mercy and say, your sins are forgiven. You are clean every whit. Only God can do that. I can't do it. The church can't do it. The staff can't do it. You can't do it. You can go to every witch doctor and every holy man and every shaman and every priest you want to go to. There's not a one of them that can heal your spiritual leprosy. Only God can do it. Only God. Every person born of a woman, and that's all of us, is a spiritual leper and is in need of a touch from the Master's hand, and you cannot cleanse yourself like the physical leper of old. You must go around yelling, unclean, unclean. But when you come to the New Testament, there stands Jesus, and thank God Jesus is able to make you clean. He can cleanse your heart of every sin and make you pure and spotless in His sight. Now look at the symbolism in verse 4. Look at the symbolism here in this 14th chapter. In the Old Testament economy, the priest went without the camp where the leper had been driven. Why did he go? He did not go to heal him. He went to certify his healing. He went to certify that God had healed him. Now notice, he didn't go to cleanse him. He could not cleanse him. He didn't have the power to cleanse him. He went to certify his cleansing. He took two birds, verse 4. He took cedar wood, scarlet, and hyssop. What does this mean? Well, it's just symbolism. It's just a symbol. It was just paint the picture. The birds were for sacrifice. And you can't be saved without a sacrifice. Thank God Jesus is our sacrifice. He took a cedar, which was a symbol of strength because it was an incorruptible wood. He took scarlet, which was the picture of earthly glory, which spoke of His life, spoke of the fact that glory came down and became flesh so that He could pay our sin penalty. And then He took hyssop, which was the plant of fragrance and of healing. And all of these items were brought by the leper, but none of them cleansed him. Neither did the priest cleanse him. He was clean by some act of God, but used these things to celebrate the fact that God had cleansed him. Now come once again to the New Testament. Look at our high priest. Look at our high priest. You see, folks, no matter what the picture is, listen carefully, and I'm going to teach you something here. This Old Testament is full of types and pictures. But no matter what picture it is, and there's some that are mighty, mighty close, the picture is never as good as the real thing. Right? You know that to be true. The picture is never as good as the real thing. You might have a picture of your loved one in your wallet, but that picture is not as good as the real thing. You may have a picture of your children that live halfway across the country, or of your grandchildren that live halfway across the country, and that picture is good. I mean, you're glad you have it. You look at it all the time, but that picture is never as good as the real thing. That picture is not as good as having their arms wrapped around your neck telling you how much they love you. And it's the same way with Bible pictures. You got all of these Old Testament pictures, but the picture is never as good as the real thing. Here you got a picture, leprosy. It pictures sin. Oh, it's a good picture. It's a clear picture. And you got this cleansing in verse 14. And you got this priest taking the birds and taking the cedar and taking the scarlet and taking the hyssop and going through this ceremony and sprinkling water all over the place. You got all those pictures, but it's never as good as the real thing. Come with me now to the New Testament, and let's look at our New Testament priest. The Lord Jesus, our high priest, does not come without the camp to certify the leper cleansed. Our high priest comes without the camp to cleanse the leper. In the Old Testament picture, the priest went after he got word that there had been a healing, a cleansing. He then went, oh no, not in the New Testament. You've got the Son of God seeking and saving that which was lost. You've got Jesus, our great high priest, coming to where we are. He comes to us and says, I'm here and I can cleanse you if you'll let me. If you'll let me. He comes to the place where the leper is cast out, to the place where the leper is alone, excommunicated from the holy place. And coming to the leper in some infinite, amazing, and mysterious fashion, Christ takes into his heart and nature the virus and poison of leprosy, of sin, and Jesus cancels it with his passion, his love, and his grace, making the leper clean. Oh, thank God that Jesus saves. Dear friend, see the spiritual lesson that God intends us to see in this horrible disease. Leprosy is such a clear and simple picture of sin. And all unsaved people are plagued with spiritual leprosy. But, thank God, there is a cure. We read chapter 13, and we say, yep, that's man. Yep, boy, he's a sinner. Yep, I see that. Wow, doesn't look good. Isolated, separated, cast out. Just going out to die. Yep, that's man. But then you read chapter 14 and all of a sudden you lighten up a little bit. Amen. For there is hope. Wait a minute. You can be cured of spiritual leprosy. Wait a minute. There is one who is able to say, I declare you clean. There is a way of salvation. Dear friend, if you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, I want you to know something. You've got a spiritual leprosy eating at your soul. And that leprosy is one of these days eventually going to cause your death. And it's going to cause you not just to physically die, but to spiritually die. And to go out into a place for all eternity called hell. You say, well, Pastor, let the church do something for me. That's the point. The church can't. You say, well, Pastor, let me get baptized. Let that help me. It won't work. Well, Pastor, I'll give some money. No, that won't work either. You can go ahead and give the money if you want, but that won't help either. You say, well, Pastor, what am I supposed to do? Oh, I'm so glad you asked. Why don't you come to the one who is called in the New Testament our great high priest? And why don't you let him declare you clean every whit? You know the amazing thing in one of the stories in the New Testament, there were 10 lepers that came to see Jesus. 10 lepers. Can you imagine that? Jesus is standing there and 10 lepers come up. I bet it looked like the parting of the Red Sea from that crowd as they saw these 10 lepers coming. They parted their ways and they walked right up to Jesus. And they said, Jesus, can you make us whole? Can you cleanse us? Jesus, would you cleanse us of our leprosy? And Jesus cleansed all 10 of them. He then told them, guys, go to the temple and show yourself to the priest. Why did he do that? So the priest could declare them clean so they could come back and rejoin society. And all 10 of them turned and went away. And I'm sure the people were just amazed. And all of a sudden, in just a few minutes, one old boy came back. He got on his knees before the Lord and he said, Lord, thank you for making me clean. The Lord Jesus looked at him and said, where's the other 9? Wouldn't you think that all 10 of those boys would have come back and thanked the Lord for sparing their lives? Where are the other 9? And the man said, I don't know. And Jesus looked at that leper and he said, sir, thy faith hath made thee whole. What does that mean? Those other guys, you know, leprosy eats your fingers off. It eats your toes off. It eats your earlobes off. It eats your nose off. Could you see the horrible sight of those 10 standing before Christ? Man standing there with just a little nub on the end of his arm. Another man standing there with a cane because leprosy has eaten his foot off. And I don't know what kind of condition this one old boy was in that came back, but I figure he was a horrible looking sight. And the Lord Jesus said, thy faith hath made thee whole. Now he cleansed the other 9. And they went to the temple to show the priest that they had been cleansed of their leprosy. But this old boy now all of a sudden has his fingers back. This old boy all of a sudden has his nose back. This old boy all of a sudden has his ears back. This old boy all of a sudden has his feet and his toes back. The Lord said, thy faith hath made thee whole. And brethren, I want you to know that when you come to Jesus Christ and you say, Lord, make me clean, the Lord Jesus not only cleanses your soul of every sin, but He puts on you a seal of eternity that the devil can't do anything about, that will one day guarantee that you will be whole in heaven. All of you in heaven. Mind, body, soul, and spirit. All of you in heaven. And that's the salvation that God gives. Thank God there is a cleansing for spiritual leprosy. Let's bow our heads.